I'm going to be talking about a delicate time. In Acts chapter 15, we see an amazing set of events. In that chapter, we see one of the first councils held by the church to settle an issue. That means that there was division creeping in, even in the early church. Did you know the enemy is the source of all division? Whenever you see division, you know a devil's been there. Whenever you see division in a marriage, you know the devil's been there. Whenever you see division in a ministry, you know the devil's been there. And you know, Proverbs says that all division comes as a result of pride. Even yours, Proverbs 13:19. You say, well, no, my division was understandable if you only knew the facts on my side. No, all division has as its root pride. So when you see people beginning to divide and you see ministries beginning to divide, there's always a devil somewhere in there. Well, you know that. Well, Acts 15, division came to the church and of a theological nature. Here's the situation. All of these non-Jewish Gentiles were getting saved. And in the early church, the first believers in Jesus were very prejudicial. They only thought Jesus was there to save Jewish people. For the first 10 years of the Christian church in the book of Acts, you see Jewish people getting saved. And here was the big deal. Was God big enough and was his heart universal enough to even reach those Gentile dogs? That's what they used to call them. Romans were called Gentile dogs. I see some of you, I know you've heard worse in your life. But if they throw dog in, you know, it just sort of takes it to a new level, of new depth level, right? And so here we have a marvelous outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. All the great apostles are being filled by the Spirit. And the mandate Jesus gave them was from Jerusalem to Judea to the uttermost parts of the earth. So he told them, start in Jerusalem. And it's really important to start where you are because that's where you are. But don't ever stay where you are. In Acts 1, 7 and 8, he says, beginning at Jerusalem, going to Judea, to Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, the apostles were so holy, they were singing, standing on the promises while sitting on the premises. They just watched Christ ascend, and then they stayed there. And you know, sometimes God has to bring persecution of some sort into our lives to get up off of our butts and to get us moving in the direction of our destiny. So that's what happened. There was a persecution that came and all of a sudden they took the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth and everything was going good except this new thing starts happening. Gentiles, Roman dogs, start accepting the message of Jesus. They don't have any Jewish background. All they do, it's like being at a Joel Osteen meeting. All they're doing is hearing Jesus is the Messiah and saying, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. And that easy reception of salvation started some tensions back in Jerusalem where the church was because there were some believers that came out of a detailed traditional Jewish background. We're studying some of that on Sunday morning, sacrificial system in the temple and bells and smells and incense and nonsense. I mean, there was so much heavily laden tradition in their belief system that our Jewish brothers were having a really hard time believing that the Gentile dogs, all they have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Amen. It's like, what? We've got feasts. We've got festivals. It's the new moon. Cover your head. You're eating a hamburger? No, you're eating a hamburger. It's ham. And you're washing it down with milk. And all of a sudden, these divisions start popping up. The Jewish believers and the Gentile dog believers are now sitting next to each other in worship, which is fine, but they smell a little different. They're children of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But can you see that the tendency was our Jewish brethren would be still a little legalistic, saying, first you become a Jew, then you're circumcised, then you accept Jesus. Not this easy believism. So you got a church full of Gentile dogs eating ham sandwiches after the service and scrupulous Jewish believers who have spent their entire life steeped in orthodoxy. So there had to be a conference, a first church meeting. You know what the meeting was about? The meeting was about, all right, everybody shut up. What are we going to do? So the apostles get up and they say, Okay, first of all, Jesus died on the cross, so he is the sacrificial lamb. So the whole ceremonial system of the law of Moses, good news, canceled. You don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. And Gentiles, cut out the fornication where you're having sex with everybody and don't eat blood, things with blood in it, because it's very gross and it's not healthy and it's disrespectful to our Jewish brethren. They gave a mild talk. They calmed both sides down. They said, love each other. Those of you that have been in the way and have been studying the ceremony and tradition, you disciple your non-Jewish brothers in the real depth and Jewish roots of our faith, and you Gentiles just try to eat ham at home. So everything was all right. Okay? So the two men presiding at this meeting were guys named Barnabas and Saul. And I want you to remember Barnabas and Saul. Three names: Barnabas, Saul, and John Mark. I'm getting somewhere today. Barnabas and Saul were there, and they were helping settle this big meeting. Did you know sometimes it's not the big divisions that can mark your life? They settled the big things. They settled the doctrinal things. But Barnabas and Saul, the men presiding at this wonderful meeting of the church, these men of faith, men of renown, they took the confusion and they literally were God's instrument to bring peace and concord over a very important Christian doctrinal issue. And the church, by the way, was never the same, and the church moved forward as one man in Jesus Christ, and bless his holy name. But in the same chapter, those two titans, Barnabas and Saul, have a disagreement over absolutely nothing that brings a fissure to their relationship and divides them, just a glacial division. If you read in the text, they went on a first missionary journey, and Barnabas, a wonderful man of God, wanted to take his nephew. His name was John Mark. And Paul said, okay, bring him along. So Barnabas and Paul and John Mark go on a huge missionary outing, and in the middle of it, do you know sometimes you go into ministry with folks and you figure they're going to stick by us the whole time? Come on, we're the mighty ones of God. And they go out to minister, and right when it gets rough, John Mark is a young man. He cuts and leaves. He abandons his uncle Barnabas. He abandons Paul and goes to Vegas, you know, where it's easier. And so this causes a great problem. Did you know sometimes the problems in our lives aren't the big ones? We can handle those. When the devil hits the church in a big way, that causes us to unify in prayer, and we get probably more spiritual when we're aware we're under massive attack. But when the devil comes to divide, he usually always brings something little, something that is inconsequential. And this is what happens. By the way, don't think people are spiritual giants just because God uses them. They can get ticked off as you about anything. And it's usually the little foxes that spoil the vine. Song of Solomon 2:15 says it's the little foxes that spoil all the grapes. It's that little argument that you didn't settle. It's that little point of disagreement that just didn't get resolved and worked through that shows up 5 years later. Huh? And it's immovable now. Like the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, you ever seen what happened? Who did what? You can get in a family quabble and forget why it ever happened, but you'll die for it. It's like the Civil War. What's going on? I don't know. We're praying to the same God, reading the same Bible, hugging each other, then killing one another. One little quabble can become a civil war in your life, your family, in your situation. So let's get back to Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. I'm just telling you a story today. So they're on the front lines of ministry, and John Mark bugs out. He just says, I can't handle the stress. I can't handle the pressure. This God has not called me to this place of ministry. Isn't it fun to get right in the middle of the battle with somebody and God hadn't called him? We wish we knew that back in boot camp. John Mark leaves. Had enough. I can't take it. Well, when someone abandons the work at the most critical time, that could be ground of some animosity. So Paul goes on, and Barnabas, they go on, and they do a great job. But when they get ready for their next trip, Barnabas comes up to Saul and says, okay, John Mark's going along with us. Now, who else? else we have? Some of the TBN prayer partners are going to, and Saul goes, wait. It was John Mark is not going anywhere in this ministry. And a sharp contention rose between Barnabas and Saul. They never had a disagreement about anything. These are two giants that have agreed on everything. All the essentials. You know, you've always heard me say, in essentials, unity. In a non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. But we've never heard them have a squabble over essentials. But now we hit a non-essential area, namely as Barnabas's little nephew going to go along, John Mark. The guy that screwed up and left. The guy that wouldn't stand with them. And here, in this delicate moment when the church is writing a new page of history in the world, the devil could not divide them in a big area. So he subtly went back around the door into a little area, a little fox that spoils the vine, a little issue of agitation about John Mark. So Barnabas, being the loving, kind consoler that he is, says, yeah, I know John abandoned us last trip. But you know, we want to be gracious, don't we? And we don't want to hurt his feelings, so let's bring him along. Paul says, are you kidding? That he was an instrument that broke in my hand once already. I am not taking a man like that into the heat of battle. And a sharp contention, the Bible says in Acts 15. Sharp. This wasn't mild. Dearest brother in Christ. It wasn't one of those kind of, with a bowed head, I defer to your wisdom. This word, the Greek word says, this was sharp. This one. Now, it's not about the Trinity. It's not about the deity of Christ. It's not about essential things. It's about somebody. Did you know that the devil, if he can't hit you in the big areas, will come around in little areas? You know, every day, what you need to look for is the little things that are just about to intrude in your relationship. It's never the big things. The roof falling in on the building, it's never going to be that. It's never going to be the Antichrist rising to power from the back seat of your car, which could happen. In my case, there had been a few people that have been scared. You have to see the back seat of my car, and you know what I mean. There's just too many things just the way they'd ought to be to see a devil man just rise up. It's not going to be the Antichrist rising up in your backyard or a meteor falling on your bike. It's going to be some little snitty thing that isn't even worth your time that will bring the fissure and cause division. Do you know, I know issues in whole families, and they are torn to pieces by little things. You know, little things are mighty things. For want of the nail, the shoe was lost. For want of the shoe, the horse was lost. For want of the horse, the rider was lost. For want of the rider, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the war was lost. All for the loss of a nail. One little thing can be responsible for big things going bad. So here's my heart this morning. I think we're coming into a delicate time in our relationships in this church with one another, in our home life. I think the Lord wants to identify and draw a circle around some of the little things that have been brought by the enemy in order to cause great division. Someone say amen. And I think that the Lord's not going to move some of us forward any further until we see him sort of chiropractically adjust and draw a circle around those little things that are causing the big problems, and then we can face them and put the light on them in Jesus' name and say, there it is. As Joyce Meyer said, whenever you see the enemy, say, there it is. Every day when he pops up in his little way, the devil could not take Paul and Barnabas down. These were godly apostles anointed by the Holy Ghost, except over John Mark and two matters of opinion about that guy. Well, who was right? Barnabas, you know, he's a soft-hearted guy. He wanted to give him grace. Paul was a little hard-headed. Instrument breaks in my hand when I'm using it. I'm not going to put it on the front line again. I did it once. I'm a fool. You can see Paul's attitude coming. Well, how did the story wind up? Well, the story wound up that there was such a sharp contention between Barnabas and Saul, and this shouldn't even have been able to happen, but it did, where they couldn't even minister together anymore. So Saul, literally, it's so sharp, he leaves Barnabas and he grabs another apostle named Silas, and Paul and Silas start traveling around. But, you know, listen, loved one, even when the devil thinks that he's triumphed, he's brought some kind of a victory, he's brought some little thing that has brought a big division, look how big God is. God said, okay, the devil's in the picture now. Let's divide and conquer here. We'll put Paul out with Silas, throw John Mark out there with Barnabas. Now we got two missionary teams instead of one mighty one, and we're just going to go and evangelize the world. Isn't God amazing? He takes what's available, and he uses it, and the ministry is quadruple. But Saul, at this point, Paul does rise as a great influence, and he just accomplishes things that are impossible. He goes to Europe with the gospel, transforms the world. But in the narrative, we never see Barnabas again. One little sensitivity about his sister's son broke him up. Now, later we see evidences that John Mark became usable in Paul's ministry again. Thank God for his mercy. Aren't you glad that God gives second chances? But you know what? Barnabas, his life just sort of, he just sort of went off. You know, when the enemy attacks you, don't just isolate yourself and go off. Just fortify your heart again and say, Lord, I'm not going to go and isolate myself and sit in a corner. I may have screwed up. I may have participated more in that little argument. And you know, I wish Barnabas would have just left Cyprus and gone and found Saul and said, hey, guys, let's make this right. We're better together. I think God wants to heal some fissures in our church, in your family relationships. I think the Holy Spirit is going to reveal them. And it may not be all the stuff you think you know. You know, when I mention that, you immediately go in your spirit to certain things. Yeah, well, that time I hit Mom with the spoon, you know, I should really ask for forgiveness for that. It won't be that stuff. Anyone hit your mom, by the way, get out of here, you sicko, if you're going to do that. But you know, you may just think back. Your mind goes in certain ruts when I mention here's some issues you have to deal with your wife or with your family. It's probably not the issues that would come to mind. These are fissures that are subtle. They're subtle. And they're not on essential issues, but they're little yet capable of bringing such tension. Well, that was what I was supposed to say. All I know to do now is to pray. And let's ask for the Holy Spirit Himself to come into this room. Let's ask right now that He would reveal in our relationships, in our friendships, in our families, the fissures, the divisions that have happened at a deep level over silly things, foolish things, political argument, you know. And that brother hadn't talked to his brother in 25 years since they had that argument about politics. Gerald Ford was elected president, and well, he wasn't elected, but you know, there's a Gerald Ford argument in the House, or it's a political argument, or it's something. It's a fashion problem that's just gotten you, and you realize a little fox is spoiling the whole vineyard. Did you know the Bible says if you leave little foxes alone, little things, there it is, little things the enemy brings, they will eat all the fresh grapes, and you'll wake up, not in one day, but you'll wake up in about a month with no grapes and a lot of leaves. Because little things can destroy everything if they're not put in check. So every day when the enemy works, you can just say, there it is, identify it, there it is. Just in your mind, draw a circle around it and say, that is not going to ruin my day. That is not going to be the argument with my beloved that is going to turn this into hell, this relationship. I refuse to engage in non-essential debates. This is what I teach my children. Don't die on the wrong battlefield. Whenever an argument starts and it's about a John Mark, it's about absolutely nothing, I always say, don't die on the wrong battlefield. You know, God's never lost a battle, but there's a few He didn't show up for. Probably mostly yours. Think about that. There you are, armored up. No God. He's never lost a battle, but there's some He don't show up for. So, you know, if you're going to give all that you have, give it on a valuable battlefield where all that giving is going to matter. Because we don't need strife. in any form. And you know, the Holy Spirit won't even move when there's a certain level of strife. So I want to pray for you right now. Just close your eyes. Oh, Father, forgive us. Pride alone fuels little things that cause big divisions. It can be one unkind word that could have been withheld, but it wasn't. It could be one idea in our mind that's negative about somebody else that foments crisis and contention that literally makes it impossible for you to move in us and through us and around us. So in the name of Jesus right now, we apply your blood, your shed blood, against every assault of the enemy. In this delicate season of growth, Lord, we pray protection with the blood of Jesus, and like a molten bit of steel put in cold water, we just pray to hear those little things put out in Jesus' name. Those little bits of anger put out. Dying on the wrong battlefield, put it out, Lord. Little fires starting, put them out in Jesus' name. Not in our hearts. Our hearts are going to be cultivated gardens only holding the seed of your holy word. And we pray in Jesus' name right now, I rebuke that little thing that's tried to wiggle in. In Jesus' name, be exposed for what you are and leave my loved ones, leave my family in the name of Jesus. Little contentions, little disagreements, little personality quirks that the enemy can't assault us and hit us with meteors or we'd all be dead. We'd be lips and tennis shoes if he could hit us with trucks and satellites, anything else. But he chooses to bring little unnoticeable foxes that would single-handedly eat every grape in our vineyard. Well, we stand against those little foxes in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke every latent contention that the enemy's sowing in us to rise up later, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. And as God's children, we pray, Holy Spirit, search my heart and know my heart. And if there be any wicked way in me, that you would see it and expose it, and you would put some Holy Ghost blood all over that area where I need healing and protection. You know, the Bible says that in the Ark of Noah, that it was pitched within and without with pitch. When the boat was built, they weren't finished. They took black pitch, it's like tar, and they put it inside and outside the boat. I just feel the Lord is saying, I'm going to seal your heart to keep the water out. I'm going to seal your boat. I'm going to seal your spirit and put some pitch within and without so that these wicked things can't just crawl in like bugs. Noah didn't want bugs in his ark. So they pitched all the areas that could have had openings, and they pitched them within and without with pitch. In Jesus' name, Lord, put a shellac inside of our spirit and on our soul where we will immediately recognize little things that are not worth our time. And Father, where there has been major contention between brethren, we thank you that the Bible gives a roll up to this story that everything worked out okay. John Mark got strong and came back to serve Paul. Barnabas remained serving the Lord in Cyprus the rest of his life. We pray, Lord, that you would bring healing and resolution to some long-term broken relationships represented under the sound of my voice. And then let us all move forward in Jesus' name. Someone say, amen. Give the Lord some praise right there.
Give him some praise.